Anyone going, yeah, man, I'm so rested, dude. Like, woo, carry on, bring it on. No? Oh, dear. Okay, all right. Well, maybe today's topic then is going to be a really good topic for you, as we're going to be talking about this idea of rest. So as we think about this word here, what comes to mind for you? Is this a picture of rest? Sun sets, beach, nice beautiful chair, lounging in the sun, yeah? Yeah, some of you, yeah, this really connects. Okay, good. Okay, how about this one? Hanging out with the guys, we're going to play some video games till like 5 in the morning, you know. I've done it, you know, it's no shame, yeah? So that could be a picture of rest. How about this one here? Sleeping in till like, you know, noon on a weekday or something. Okay, who's on summer vacation right now from school? We got some people on summer vacation, yeah? So are you sleeping till noon? No? No? Okay, good. What time? What time? You're climbing. Okay, good. Good for you. So you're not sleeping in till noon or something like that. Oh, basically, yeah, you know, we all have different ideas of the picture of rest. And when we think about rest, rest can mean different things to each and every one of us. Rest can mean relaxation. Rest can mean unwinding. Rest can just mean simply sleep. Now, here's some interesting stats for you. You know, according to the Human Resources Canada, the website, the average Canadian worked 36.5 hours a week in 2007, which was down from 37.7 hours in 1976. Okay, so in the last, you know, 30 years or so, we've only dropped about an hour difference in our work. Youth averaged about 28.2 hours a week. Also, the average time that Canadians spent on leisure, so leisure activities, in 2005 was 5.5 hours a day, which was down from 1998 when we spent 5.8 hours a day. Now, this doesn't sound like a lot or maybe sounds too little, but actually, in honest truth, we work less and we spend more time in leisure now than in the previous generations. And yet, often, what do we hear ourselves say when someone says, how are you feeling today? And someone says, I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling burnt out. Right? Some people say we're burnt out. Other people say, oh, I'm feeling exhausted today. And I ask myself, why? What's the cause that we, despite the fact that we don't work that much and we spend more time in play, we still say that we're very tired and we're burnt out, we're exhausted. What is the cause? Well, very well maybe that we may be physically tired from overexertion, lack of sleep, not eating well, lack of exercise, and all those things can contribute to you not feeling physically rested. But maybe our problem really isn't so much about our physical rest, but maybe even our mental rest, or even our soul rest. And let me just explain what that means. Now, just bear with me for a second. You know, what do you think is the opposite of feeling rested? You guys want to guess? Sorry? Hyper? Yeah, you could say hyper. Sure. Energetic. Yeah, that's the opposite. Well, the word I was going for was restlessness. You know, and I was thinking about it. You know, the opposite of feeling rested is restlessness. So how does that apply to our mind and to our soul? Well, maybe restlessness as it applies to the mind is constant thinking about work or school or a to-do list that we keep running in the back of our mind. Because we feel that we always have to stay on top of things. That we just need to keep this running to-do list. Because we don't want to fear losing control. You know, we don't want to have that drive of, maybe we have that drive of fear of not producing. Because if we're not constantly thinking about work, or constantly thinking about school, or constantly thinking about to-do list, then what's my purpose? Why do I exist? For the restlessness of the soul, maybe it's things like hurts and hang-ups and anxieties that we carry around in our hearts, you know, carry around in our minds. You know, this is baggage that maybe we haven't let go. Maybe someone has hurt you, and all you can think about is how that person has just hurt you so much, and you just can't seem to forgive. And so you harbor that anger and that bitterness, and it just sticks around with you like a cloud over your head. You know, maybe there's a fear of letting go, because if you think to yourself, oh man, if I let go of this feeling of bitterness or anger or whatever it is, you know, then again, what happens to me? What happens to my existence? You know, I need to feel this way. Maybe there's also discontentment. You know, maybe there's a restlessness in our souls. Maybe there's a feeling that, you know, maybe we're discontent with our lot in life. We're discontent with our jobs, discontent in our relationships. The grass always looks greener on the other side, right? We have that mentality. Maybe there's something else better for me. So there's this restlessness in our souls. And so I just wondered to myself, could it be that this restlessness we experience in our physical, mental, and spiritual health hinders us from living well? You know, and you know, as we've already established, reading through the Ten Commandments, you know, we've come up with three big ideas already about what does it mean to live well today in the 21st century in uncertain times. And the first one is we want to love God first, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. The second one is we want to talk about trusting God and not the idols in our lives. You know, these are not the things that we want to put our false trust in. We want to put our trust in the God of heaven, the God of universe. We also want to honor His name. You know, we want to be able to have purpose so that when we do things, when we go about our relationships, when we go about our schoolwork and our jobs, we go with a purpose to go so that we can honor God's name. So these are the kinds of things that help us to live well in uncertain times. Well, today I want to bring up one more idea, which is the idea that living well is resting in God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 11. And here the idea of rest, the word association I want to bring it together is this idea of ceasing. And it's this whole idea that we cease our regular activity and to focus on God. Essentially what we're doing is we want to stop and just take a break from all the activities that consume our time and our minds and turn our attention to Him and to truly worship. And basically what we're saying is we want to be able to go to God to ask Him to sustain our physical needs, to be able to relinquish our plans to Him, to trust Him amidst all the uncertainty in our lives. You know, we all need a break from all of these things that just consume us. Because if we just let all these things consume us, you know, honestly, we'll just drive ourselves nuts. And we have depression and other things like that. So we're going to talk about this whole idea of rest. And what does it mean? What did God mean when He instituted this command to rest? Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, as children, you know, do you guys remember ever taking naps as children? Yeah? Yeah? And we really enjoyed our nap time, didn't we? In fact, I'm sure most of us working adults today, we would hope that our offices would allow us to have, you know, a nap time like between 1 and 2 in the afternoon, right? I mean, that's what people in South America do, man. It's a siesta. I wish we had that too. But we like this idea of this having this nap time. We enjoy that nap time. I know something I found out since becoming a father. I didn't realize that babies actually needed to average 14 hours of sleep a day. Didn't realize that. And now I understand why my wife is so concerned that our daughter Abigail does go down at least twice a day for 2 hours to nap. And the reason being is because children need a scheduled time of rest for their developmental health. It's for them that time for their body to grow. It's that time for their brains to develop. So it's very important. Well, in the same way, rest is actually very important to God as well. And that is why He made it His fourth commandment. So as we read here, this is what God says. He says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but He rested on the seventh day. And therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." See, the point is this. God commanded His people to rest for their spiritual development as well as for their mental and physical well-being. Not just for themselves, but for also the people working for them and all the manservants, maidservants, and the aliens and things like that. And so we're going to look at that and kind of see what is the point of all this commandment to rest. So we really established that The Ten Commandments are God's moral law, essentially a code of conduct or behavior for his people. And God had given us already his commands to love, to trust, and to honor him. And now he is commanding his people to rest in him. Why? The first one is because he wants his people to remember his deliverance. You see, the word Sabbath, the literal word, the Hebrew word Sabbath, Sabbath, actually means rest. See, the day was meant to be kept holy by ceasing all labor on that day. And so the Sabbath was, at the time, specifically the seventh day, which was Saturday. So most Jewish people, most Jewish synagogues, have the Sabbath on Saturday. And it was patterned after the seventh day of rest for God following the 6 days of creation. And so during the Sabbath, the Israelites would then worship God and recall his deliverance of them from slavery, as you see here in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. And so the idea here was that God instituted this command to rest on the Sabbath day for the Israelites to kind of stop and just take a moment to just reflect and think about what God has done for them in delivering them from slavery, from delivering them from bondage, and taking them out to the promised land. And so in that time, this was the time for the Israelite people to just stop, reflect, and rest in him. Now, the other second point why they were commanded to rest is here. It says to experience rest in God because they had not reached the promised land yet. Now, the fourth commandment to remember the Sabbath day was the special sign of the covenant with Israel at Mount Sinai. And the purpose of the Sabbath was to remind God's people that they have, as I said, been slaves in Egypt and that he had delivered them and was bringing them to their promised land, their resting place. Now, interestingly enough, at this point in the journey, they had not yet arrived at the promised land. And so God was basically asking them to stop and just rest in him. Take that moment to just, just rest in him. You know, to understand, to have a taste for what the promised land would be like. As it says here, since you have not yet reached the resting place, and the inheritance the Lord your God is giving you. It's this whole idea of the here and now, but not yet. God is saying, I'm here. I'm here with you now, but you're not yet arrived at the promised land that I've promised for you, made a covenant for you. So now you can rest in me. Take one day to rest in me. Now, so that we don't get this idea, that this wrong idea, that this day of cessation was not to be a day of slothful inactivity, but actually of spiritual service to religious observances. And the violation of this command, that God, this command was such a big deal to God, that to violate it was for God to impose on Israel the death penalty. You know, for 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day, of Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death. I mean, imagine if we did that today. You know, we went around and basically said, you know, that if you don't take the day of rest, then basically you're gonna die. Like, we don't do that anymore. But it just shows again just how important this day of rest was to God and to us. Now, in our present day, of course, the day of worship has now been changed from Saturday to Sunday. Because of Jesus' resurrection on the first day of the week. And you can read that account in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, and 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. So that's why the Christian church has moved it from Saturday to Sunday to commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the first day of the week. Now, interestingly, if you look through the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, you will not find a commandment that's repeated. This commandment is not repeated in the New Testament. You will find the other nine, but not this one. And it was not repeated because it was understood that people were already observing the Sabbath. But the problem was that rather than resting in God, they basically keeping the Sabbath became about legalism, about keeping rules and regulations to give the appearance of being holy. And this is what Jesus was all against. Because he was like, you know, why are you guys not taking the Sabbath for what it is, which is to rest and to enjoy and be in the presence of God, when instead we impose these strict rules and regulations that restrict people from actually truly having a relationship with God? So, the question then remains for us. For if it's not repeated in the New Testament, does that mean that Christians need not observe the Sabbath? What do you guys think? Do we not don't need to observe the Sabbath anymore? Anyone? Well, the fact that you're here means, yes, we should observe the Sabbath. And, of course, because as Christ's disciples, you know, we who have a relationship with God through Jesus, you know, we are free from the legalism of keeping the Sabbath. You know, we no longer talk about what constitutes work, what is labor, how do we figure out, you know, how we can get around this idea because here's an interesting one. One of the Sabbath keeping laws back in Jesus' day was the whole idea that you couldn't walk more than 10 paces or something like that, because that constituted work. And so they figured out a way that if they took a stone and they threw it and they walked to the stone within under the 10 steps, then it's not constituted work. And that's how they would get from place to place, by basically using this marker to get them to where they want to be. So there's this kind of roundabout way of getting around this law of not working. So, but us today, you know, as Christ's disciples, as Christ's people, you know, Jesus himself said that in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, that the Sabbath was made for man, but man was not made for the Sabbath. So what does that mean? Basically, yes, as God's people, we are still to observe the Sabbath day. But now our understanding of keeping the Sabbath holy is different. Because there's really nothing special about this day itself. Like, the Sabbath doesn't actually have to be today, Sunday. It could be a Monday, it could be a Tuesday, it could be a Wednesday. But rather, what God is saying to us is this, and I think this is a good paraphrase for a 21st century generation. Essentially, God is saying to us this. He says, set one day apart for him, to do whatever he loves and desires, to honor him, to focus on the needs of others rather than on ourselves, and to pursue fellowship, unity, and concern with other believers. So essentially, it's this whole idea that in our daily lives, we want to set apart one day to basically to live out according to be in God, to rest in him, to do whatever it is that he loves and he desires, whatever is important to him, for us to surrender things in our lives to him, and to focus rather on others than to focus on ourselves. Now, as it is, you know, for most Christians today, the Sabbath is the Sunday, right? And so then the question is, what is our problem with rest? And I think there's a word association I like to bring up here. Maybe we think that the rest equals laziness. And somehow we've now, you know, we're so good at focusing on keeping one day separate for God. But I think as Christians, I think we end up taking this day and we end up filling it with a whole bunch of church activity rather than to learn to focus on God. You know, for those who are friends and families who are non-Christians, you know, they themselves have also lost focus on what the Sabbath really truly is. Why do we have a Saturday and a Sunday? You know, again, as it used to be, you know, you only had the Sunday off, not the Saturday and Sunday. And Sunday now has become another day to maybe self-indulge or to do my own activities. But it's forgetting that whole idea that the Sabbath was meant for God. It was to be separate, to be kept holy, for us to be able to come and rest in him. So as I said before, that maybe we associate this idea of rest with being lazy. That we need to be going, like the Energizer Bunny. That somehow, if we're taking a rest, if we're taking a break, it's basically a negative thought, because basically we're not producing, we're not serving, and therefore we're not putting our time to good use, and therefore we have no worth. See, it's this whole idea of what's your identity? Who are you? Why am I here? What is your purpose? And there's this constant, relentless pressure to produce. In other words, we need to be doing something worthwhile. We just can't just sit and just be. You know, interestingly about this whole concept of just sitting and being. You know, last Christmas, I'm sure you all remember how, you know, we had quite the big snowfall, you know, in Vancouver over December, right? And how did you guys feel being snowbound at home? Some people, woohoo, yeah, you know. One Christmas, I was home in Ontario with my wife, and I tell you right now, that was the first time. This is easily about 5 or 6 years ago. And never been homebound because of snow before. And I tell you, it seriously drove me crazy. Okay, I now understand what they talk about cabin fever. Because I'm the type of person that wants to keep going and doing things. And if I'm not doing something, I want to go out and do something. And Shari looks at me, she's like, are you crazy? Do you know how much snow is out there? Okay, you're not going to go outside where it's like, you know, snow is blowing sideways, okay? She's like, you're going to learn to sit and just rest and sleep and be at home. And I tell you right now, it really freaked me out. Because I was like, man, you know, like, I can't do it. There's only so much TV you can watch, seriously. All right? And you can only sleep for so long, all right? Because eventually, you know, you just can't, you know? And that's when I learned this whole idea, what does it really mean to just sit and rest and be? And the important lesson I learned that whole time was the idea that one of the things I think in our world today is we don't give ourselves permission to just rest and sit and be. And that's what the scripture is teaching us today. So we need to learn how to just give permission to ourselves to rest, to sit, and be in the presence of God. You know, here are some Bible verses that talk about the importance of finding rest in God. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 12. Let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him, for he shields him all day long, and the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders. Psalm 62, verse 5. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. Matthew 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This whole idea that we come before the Lord in all the restlessness in our lives, in our physical life, our mental life, our spiritual life, we can find rest in him. And so the question for us today is, you know, What would happen if we truly chose to really rest on our Sabbath day? If we really took seriously this commandment to set one day aside to truly just rest and be in the presence of God. Essentially then, we would be doing this. We would be reminding ourselves of God's covenant with us. See, on this one very day then, I don't have to have it all together. That I can trust that God, who has delivered me from death and promises to lead me into our promised land, he will be there. That I can surrender all my cares and worries and burdens in my world, knowing again, as I said, that he will be there. You know, that we don't essentially, as I said, have to always put up this pretense that we have it all together. That on this one day, I can come before God and remember that he has made a covenant with me, that he has delivered me already, and I can rejoice and be grateful in that. But also that I know I have not yet found my final rest, because the other definition for rest is also the idea of death, that death is rest and sleep. That's what the Bible translates it as. We haven't yet, you know, gone over, but while we wait to be with God in his eternal presence, we can set one side a day to be in his presence today, even now. So how does this look like? You know, I had a friend back in my dorm days, back in my college days, and he really seriously did take this commandment to rest on his Sabbath day and to keep it holy. And so what he would do is, as soon as school ended on Friday, he would start doing his homework. So on Friday night, when all the guys would be going out and getting, you know, 25-cent chicken wings, down at the pub or something, he's now, you know, not pub, sorry, the sports bar. He's down, you know, in his room, and he's studying hard. He's doing all his homework. He's doing his homework all through Saturday, so that on the Sunday, he could truly feel like he could just worship God freely, because he no longer had this pressure to do all this homework and stuff. And he would just have the best time just worshiping, you know, and being in God's presence and being with his people. He's free to visit people and fellowship with them without this false guilt, not having this constant pressure. And it's because he knew that God loved him so much, and that he had so much worth in him, that God has so much worth in him, that he obeyed this command to take a day of rest. So that's my challenge for us today. What does it mean for you to really, truly make a commitment to take one day of rest? Today could be that day. Sunday could be that day. That maybe even today you may be already serving in children's ministries or worship ministries or whatever it is that you might be doing. But I encourage us today, even if you're doing that, do take the time to make this day an important rest day for you. This is your day that God has asked you to set aside for Him, for Him to be able to minister to you, for you to be able to connect with others. See, God cares so much about us. He cares so much about you that He instituted this mandatory rest period so that you would be well. And that's what we're talking about, living well. I want to end with this last quote here, and it's from Thomas Kempis, who wrote this. Is a monk. Wrote of the imitation of Christ. And this is what he says here. He says, "Above all things and all things, O my soul, rest in the Lord always, for He is the everlasting rest of the saints. Grant me, O loving Jesus, to rest in Thee above every creature, above all health and beauty, above all glory and honor, above all power and dignity, above all knowledge and subtlety, above all riches and arts, above all joy and gladness, above all fame and praise, above all sweetness and comfort, above all hope and promise, above all desert and desire, above all gifts and favors that Thou canst give me and pour upon all mirth and exaltation that the mind can receive and feel, and finally all the host of heaven, above all, finally above angels and archangels, and above all the host of heaven, above all things visible and invisible, and above all that this is not Thee, my God. Because Thou, O Lord, my God, art above all things the best." Isn't that beautiful? Above all things, He is the best. And so at this time, we're going to now prepare ourselves to receive the elements as we prepare to take the communion. And I would encourage us, as we receive the elements this morning, now take the time to reflect on this idea of keeping the Sabbath holy, keeping a day separate for God, that you can then rest in Him, because He wants you to rest in Him today. So at this point, I'd like to invite the deacons to come forward, and we will distribute the elements this morning.